they had not seen or read one road sign. They're actually going east when we were supposed to be going north. They're just partying and singing all the way. I said, stop this car, get out. Long time you guys never get licking. Get out. I said to them, God put road signs for a reason. Read them. And you know, funny, God puts road signs up in our lives too.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Do you ever find yourself at a fork in the road and you're just not sure which way to go? Well, there's something worse than that. That's when you find yourself going down the wrong road simply because you failed to read the signs. Today, Pastor Wayne is going to help you make some corrections in the course of your life. Here he is with a message entitled, What Are You Doing on the Road to Egypt?
What are you doing on the road to Egypt? Is a word that God gave to the people in the days of Jeremiah. The very people that God had delivered out of captivity and brought them into the promised land, their hearts begin to turn back as they think, oh, it wasn't that bad. You see, it took God just a moment to get the people out of Egypt, but it seems like it's taking God a lifetime to get Egypt out of the people, because they always seem to be found back on the road to Egypt. So we're going to talk about that and how God may speak to us. But let me begin with a question. How many of you, truthfully speaking, how many of you are just terrible at directions? Raise your hand. Terrible at directions. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's some. I tell you, but men never are lost. They might not know exactly where they are at a certain given time and space, but they're never lost. Women say, Moses, being a man, I can tell you why Moses wandered in the desert for 40 years. He refused to stop and ask for directions. I was reading something about the way a man gets directions to something and the way a woman does. And so this is a man and his wife. Now, they're going to be invited to their sister's house for Thanksgiving. So here's her way of getting there. They're invited to sister's for Thanksgiving. She gets in the car behind the wheel, starts to drive, pulls off at a wrong exit, realizes it, opens the window, asks direction of a knowledgeable police officer, and they arrive at their destination shortly. Now here is the husband's way of getting to this sister's. He's invited to the sister's for Thanksgiving. She gets in the passenger side, he gets behind the wheel, and he starts driving in the general hemisphere of the location. Pulls off at the wrong exit, but is absolutely positive it is the correct exit. So he drives until he hits 5 miles into the wilderness. Thinks he's still right, drives an extra 2 miles just in case. She suggests, looking at a map, he gets mad and says it's the loser's way out. Finally pulls up to a 7-Eleven, gets 3 hot dogs, 1 large Slurpee, and beef jerky. Asks the person behind counter how to get back on highway. Gets back in car, drives down a dirt road, no street lights, but still insists this is the way back because the guy from 7-Eleven said it was. Fiddles with the radio, starts yelling at you, the wife, starts yelling at you for suggesting the map again. Admits in the first place he didn't want to go to Thanksgiving at your sister's anyway. He hates your sister. He hates trips. He hates you. He wants to say, why don't we just go home? But he can't. He doesn't know the way. Drops his Slurpee, gets mad, blames it on you. Stops car, gets out, stomps off, kicks tire. Wife quickly scoots over, studies map, takes the wheel, gently encourages man to get on the driver, passenger side. Man gets in. They arrive at their destination shortly. But I think the worst is when you are in the wrong direction, going the wrong way, and you don't even know it. Some time ago, I was traveling with 3 ushers from our church, big Hawaiian guys, and we had done a bunch of concerts in Oregon, so we had to go to Seattle. And so I was really tired. I said, hey, can I take a nap? You guys just hit the 205, and it'll merge you onto I-5. It'll take you to Seattle. No problem. In fact, we'll all go in the front seat so you can have the whole back seat. Oh, thanks. Big Hawaiian guy. So one guy takes out his ukulele and they start singing on the 205 going north. And so I fall asleep. It's the best sleep. I was so tired. 2 hours, I'm out. You know how you're sleeping and then you feel like there's a disturbance in the force? I jolt awake. And I look around and I said, are we almost there? Because we should be in Seattle by now. They said, oh, I don't know. We just have been singing. I said, what do you mean singing? I don't know. So I look around. It says, Oregon, the Dalles, we are 100 miles off. They are actually going east when we were supposed to be going north. They had not seen or read one road sign. They're just partying and singing all the way. I said, stop this car, get out. Long time you guys never get licking. Get out. I couldn't believe those guys. I said to them, God put road signs for a reason. Read them. And you know, funny, God puts road signs up in our lives too. He did for Israel in Jeremiah's day, but they refused to read them. God found them on the wrong road, heading in the wrong direction, heading back to the place of their captivity from where they were once bound and released. And God speaks to them on this road, even as he would speak to us today. It's at the top of our notes. Let's read Jeremiah 2:18 and see what God says to them. Ready? Go. But now, what are you doing on the road to Egypt? To drink the waters of the Nile? You ever found yourself on the road to Egypt, heading backwards? You feel yourself drifting, you start missing signs. You see, when it says, are you on the road to Egypt? Why? To drink the waters of the Nile? If you know the Nile, it's a dirty river. And what God is saying is, what are you doing on this road to Egypt? Are you going to go all the way to drink the waters of the Nile where this dirty water comes in you and becomes a part of you and you become a part of that Nile where you defile yourself? Where you become one with this act and you destroy your innards, insides, whatever, your guts. And so God is saying, what are you doing on the road to Egypt to drink the waters of the Nile? We can catch ourselves on the road to Egypt, maybe not physically, but on the inside, where say it starts off with someone betraying you or offending you and you harbor this offense. And 3 weeks later, you're still in this mindset, bitterness or anger. I don't want to see that. I don't want to talk. And whenever that person's name comes up, this bitterness comes up within you. And you're just locked in this direction. It's at those moments, I want us to hear the word of the Lord, where God will say to us, what are you doing on the road to Egypt? Fast forward the tape. What are you going to do? Kill him? Amputate him? Murder him? No, I'm not going to drink of the Nile. Then what are you doing on the road to Egypt? Well, I just don't like him. So you're going to stay years on the road to Egypt? You see, what happens is some of us may say, we'll never drink of the Nile, God, but we're on this road to Egypt where it begins to destroy your passion for God. We begin to compromise relationships. It even mitigates our passion for our family. You can begin an emotional, illicit relationship that you know isn't what God wants. You know it's displeasing to the Lord. Well, I'm not going to go all the way. I mean, God, come on. I'm not going to do this and ruin, you know, everything. But what are you doing on the road to Egypt? What's happening up here? See, when that happens, your passion for your family starts to die. You begin to compromise little by little. And if you're not careful to read the road signs correctly, you'll find yourself at the bank of the Nile River one day. What are you doing on the road to Egypt, God might say. Now, I want you to know that there are going to be times when every single one of us will find ourselves on the road to Egypt, where our thoughts will be influenced or dominated by this heart set. And your heart can be caught up in this for weeks, maybe months, maybe even years, and it eats away at your marriage, diminishes your passion for God, and it forces you to compromise and rationalize, and you settle for less than God's best. Sometimes we're on the road to Egypt and we just sort of rationalize, well, you know, that's just how it is. And they, oh, that's, well, he's going to have to change this. Or, you know, I'm not going all the way. I'm just, you know, kind of doing this for now. And you see, what happens is the enemy of your soul will cause you to start to justify and to rationalize and compromise. But when the devil comes and gives you a truce and helps you to rationalize or justify actions, I want you to know that you can never make a truce with the enemy. You cannot compromise with him. Once you do, his goal isn't to just smooth things over. In John 10:10, it says the thief doesn't come to smooth things over. The thief comes to what? To steal, to kill, and to what? His ultimate goal is to destroy your life, your marriage, your family, and your future. So when you think you're just justifying or compromising with the enemy, his goal is to get you to a place where he can destroy your future. You never want to compromise. Otherwise, we'll be like the hunter that was going for bear, for fur, you know, fur trader. And he came around the corner and bang, face to face with this 9-foot bear. Rawr, big claws come out of the fur. And he quickly clicks his gun back. And just then the bear says, "Whoa, wait a minute, let's talk about this." So the hunter says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, with one swap, I can pull your head off." He said, "Yeah, I know. With one click, you're dead too." He says, "Okay, well, stalemate. Well, let's compromise." So the hunter said, "Okay, what do you want?" Well, the bear said, "What do you want?" "I want to wear a fur coat." "Good." The bear said, "I'm hungry. So let's compromise." He said, "Okay." And the bear ate him. So when the man was in the bear's stomach, he now had his fur coat, and the bear was satisfied in his hunger. Point, don't compromise. Because the enemy's goal is to destroy you when you say yes to compromise. He's very, very scheming. So when you get on this road to Egypt, what are some of the signs? How can we read these signs? Let me give you 3 telltale signs when you're on the road to Egypt that will help you. And if you can read the signs, it will save you years. It will save you pain. It will save you tragedy. If you'll read them soon enough. Now listen, if you can read the signs and keep your ear keen to the Lord so that when he says, "Wayne, what are you doing on the road to Egypt?" "I got it, Lord." And I start to read the signs and I make the U-turn. Listen carefully. When you are able to read the signs that God places when you're on the road to Egypt, if you can start reading the signs well, it will help you to correct your mistakes before you even make them. It's really cool. If you cannot read signs very well, this road will demand that you make the mistakes first, and maybe you'll live to correct them. But if you can learn to read signs and keep your ear keen to the voice of God when he asks, "What are you doing on the road to Egypt?" you'll be able to correct your mistakes before you make them. It'll save you years. So what are the signs? What are some of the things that pop up, maybe in our hearts, that should remind us, tell us, warn us that we're on the road to Egypt? The first is this. Would you write in your notes? Number one is when God's grace is forgotten in our lives. When we forget God's goodness, when God's grace is forgotten. You see, it's so easy to forget how good God is. And that's exactly what happened to the people of Israel in Jeremiah's day. God had delivered them from Egypt, and they had forgotten because they were now in the land of milk and honey. It's funny, we often forget how far we had fallen, how God had picked us up and dusted us off and given us forgiveness, and now things are smooth again. We forget God. It's all about moi and the man in the mirror. We forget. And when you see that, that's a warning sign. You're on the road to Egypt. I was visiting a prison some time ago, and I was doing a chapel when a guy who was from our former church was there, and he had been delivered. I mean, God had given him a shortened time in prison when he was in it before, and he had been a servant at the church. And I turned around, and there he was again in prison. And I said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Well, you know, God had delivered me, and I was serving in the church." I said, "Yes, I remember." He said, "Well, you know, I got a really good job when I got out, and they started paying me real well, and one thing led to another, and I started using again, and they caught me dealing." I said, no, how did all that happen? He said, I'll tell you when. He said, when I started to forget about God and how good he was to me to have delivered me in the first place. I said, you're absolutely right. You see, it's so easy for that to happen. And that's why God says, never lose that childlike heart. As you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, Colossians says, now walk in him. Doesn't matter if you've been walking with the Lord 20 years. Keep that childlike heart. So important. Let's read what it says in Jeremiah 2. Ready? Go. For long ago, I broke your yoke and tore off your bonds, but you said, I will not serve. That happens. That happened to a very strong church called Ephesus in the book of Revelation. God said to this church, strong church, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance. I know that you test those who call themselves apostles and you found them to be false. You have labored and you've not grown weary for my name's sake. Strong church. You can almost be hearing the word new hope in there. That the Lord would speak that to us because it's a strong church. But then he says this, but I have this one thing against you. Yeah. You have left your first love. Your heart that used to be there is no longer. So you carry on the function of a church, but you've lost the heart of that childlike spirit. The remedy? God says, so therefore, remember from where you have fallen. Isn't that good? Don't ever forget. Remember from where you have fallen and return. Repent and return and do the deeds you did at first. Don't ever lose that kind of spirit. When you leave that, you find yourself on the road to Egypt because you forget about it. That's why it's so important to gather in groups. When people gather together in devotional groups, we have times where we get together and we go out and serve. Those times are so important because it keeps you white hot for God. Aaron and I were doing devotions the other day at Kahala Mall, and we sat down and I looked around and there were no less than 7 groups of people from this church doing devotions together in 2s and 3s. And I thought, that is so cool. We call those life groups. We have care groups that are formal groups that meet in homes, but we have these things called life journals, where people just gather together in 2s and 3s and they say, hey, let's do devotions together. And so they read together for about 20 minutes silently and they journal an entry of what God had spoken to them about. And then they take a few minutes to share what God had said to them. We just call those life groups. They're sprouting up everywhere, hundreds of them in the morning at coffee shops and in homes. It's just wonderful. And God is saying, stay like that. Those are so important. You see, if you had a bunch of coals or embers and they're together, you'll see them glowing white hot. But what if you took some tongs and took one of those coals and stuck it off to the side by itself? What would happen to that very quickly? It would cool, wouldn't it? But if you took that and you put it back amongst the other embers, it would quickly return to its white hot state. The same is true with us. See, if the enemy can take you away from God's people, from a small group, from a life group, and just put you off to the side here, you'll very quickly cool. That's why it's so important to stay together in these groups and different times of fellowship. Otherwise, we'll drift and we'll find ourselves back on the road to Egypt. There was a lady that suffered a pretty loose lifestyle, but God had delivered her, and she was doing really well. But one morning she came and she said, Pastor Wayne, someone stole my purse last night. I said, oh no. She said, yeah, and I had my money in there and my credit cards in there. Everything is gone. I don't have anything left. I said, you're kidding. Someone just swiped your purse. That's right. I said, well, where did this happen? She said, oh, I was in Lopaka's bar last night. I said, what in the world were you doing there? She said, oh, I was just visiting some friends. I said, yeah, huh? It's not to say anything is wrong necessarily with those places, but especially for her, it was, because that's where God had delivered her out of. And then the question is, what were you doing back on the road to Egypt? Well, I wasn't head over heels doing wrong things. Yeah, but what were you doing on the road to Egypt? Because you see, if the enemy can get you there, then he starts to have a heyday with you. You see, what the enemy wants to do is to get you to think that you don't need God's protection as much as you did in the beginning. And you start to depend on yourself. See, the word faith or believe means this: to rely upon, to depend on, to lean completely on. That's you're putting your faith or you believe in something. Now, here's the scheme of the enemy. He doesn't make you to deny your faith, because we won't do that. So what he does is he gets you to shift your faith or shift what you lean on. Whereas we were leaning completely on the Lord, now it's us. I can lean on myself. You see, it's not a case of denying faith. Would you write in your first bullet there? It's a case of shifting faith. You shift your faith to yourself. I can handle this. I can do this. I can compromise this. I can jaywalk myself through life and I'm okay. You can't, because that's a compromise, and what happens is the enemy gets you. You see, we shift our faith, and after a while we say, hey, listen, nobody knows. In fact, now here is the grandest scheme of the enemy. Please listen carefully. See, the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. So when I mess up, it opens a door for the enemy to come in and to destroy, because I pull myself under from under the umbrella of the Lord. And when I'm in the enemy's territory, he has a heyday with me. Well, the wages of sin is death. You separate yourself, and that makes you vulnerable to the enemy. Now, here's the scheme of the enemy. Watch closely. Sometimes when I'm on the road to Egypt, I'll step out from under God's covering, and I'll use once here. And you know what? No one will find out, and I'll run back in. And I'll come out here, and I'll have an overnight tryst with someone. And you know what the devil does? He withholds any consequences. Pretty sharp. He protects you from consequences. So after a while, guess what? You say, hey, you step one foot out. Hey, not bad. Nothing going to bite me. No, look at that. Hey. And so you run out. Hey, look at this. Hey, yeah, pretty good. And pretty soon you say, hey, no problem out here. And once you depend on and rely upon that no one will find out, the devil says, you dummy. And he's got you right where he wants you. You see, sometimes we do that and nobody finds out. We start to lean on it and we depend on it. That's exactly what Jeremiah says here. Would you read the scripture under the first bullet? Ready? Go. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. God is saying the two evils are they forsake me, and then a cistern is a hole, a puka in the ground where you get the rain runoff, and it goes into this sort of man-made well, and that's where they get their water from. So what we say is, we don't need the fountain of living water. We will fend for ourselves. We do it our way. This is okay. We compromise, and God says, but that's a broken cistern, and you'll lose water. So what the devil does, he gets us to shift our faith. Oh, we're still Christians. We still love God, but we shift what we really depend on and rely upon. It's ourselves, our own way of shucking and jiving. And the devil will let you do that and protect you from consequences for a while until you lean so completely on it that you put all your eggs in one basket. And when you do that, all the enemy has to do is pull the rug out from one little area of your life. Poof! And your whole life, your future, your marriage, your family, your legacy, everything starts crashing down one after another. He's a schemer.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled, What Are You Doing on the Road to Egypt? We'll bring you the conclusion of the message on tomorrow's broadcast. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best, and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.